Hey y'all, we're going to look today at John chapter 13. So in the Gospel of John, starting in chapter 13, there's a major new section. Most people think that the first part of the Gospel of John has to do with signs and Jesus' public ministry. And then there's this transition in chapter 13 where Jesus washes the disciples' feet and then has a kind of final sermon with his disciples, and that section is marked off when Judas leaves. So in the prior section, in chapter 13, when Jesus says to Judas, what you're going to do, do quickly. Once he leaves, that begins this new section. So today, we're going to look at the introduction of that section, which is John chapter 13, starting in verse 31. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered him, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow me afterward." Peter said to him, "Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Jesus answered, "Will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, the rooster will not crow till you have denied me three times." So again, this is a very important transition. And in this sermon, after this brief introduction, Jesus will speak first about the Father, and then he will speak about himself. And finally, he will speak about the Holy Spirit before he gives the great high priestly prayer of John chapter 17. One thing to notice in this first section is how much Jesus talks about glory, that Jesus is going to be glorified, or the Son of Man is going to be glorified, and that the Father is going to be glorified. In fact, glory in some way, shape, or form is mentioned five times. And remember, for the Gospel of John, Jesus is glorified and God is glorified by the cross. Yes, it's by the resurrection, but John wants to focus uniquely on the cross and to help us to see in Jesus' willingness to go to the cross and the Father's willingness to send him to the cross, the unique glory of the character of God. There is a sense in which John wants to say this is the place at which God's character is most fully revealed. And so Jesus emphasizes that right here at the beginning. Then he says that he is going away, and it's interesting because he says, the word he uses is, some people have translated it, dear little children. It's a very affectionate term, and he's saying, guys, I love you, but I'm going away, and you're not going to be able to follow me for a while. And again, this is another one of the themes of the Gospel of John, what disciples are to do in Jesus' absence. Remember when we looked at the man who was healed of blindness, it is his encounter and his trial before the leaders in Jerusalem where he works out his discipleship, and when Jesus is not there. So this theme of this gap between the time when we get to see Jesus and this time now is a major theme. And Jesus encourages us with my little children. There's affection in all of that. So then Jesus gives his great new commandment. And there's a number of ways in which I think this is new. He says, importantly, people will know you're my disciples by your love for one another. This theme of our love for one another as a major evidence of who God is and the character of God is one of John's favorite themes. In the beginning, it says no one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, has made him known. And now I believe Jesus brings us into that work of making the Father known. And he specifically says that we do it by loving one another. Notice, and this is so important, he doesn't say, people will know you are my disciples by your love for me. He says, they will know you are my disciples by your love for one another. That is the greatest apologetic. The church's greatest missionary, evangelism, and apologetic tool is its members learning to love one another. And this is worked out first and foremost in our local congregations, where we rub elbows and we live with one another and we get irritated with one another and we learn to have God's heart one toward another. This is the non-negotiable ground of our missions to the world, is that love that we have for one another. And notice also, importantly, Jesus makes clear that it is rooted in his prior heart for his disciples. As I have loved you, from the resource of my heart for you, you are to love one another. And that is the way that God is manifest to the world. And then we get another great Peter moment. And in fact, it's Peter's last words before his betrayal of Jesus. And he essentially says, well, Lord, I want to go where you're going. I want to go with you now, and I'm willing to lay down my life for you. So Peter seems to have a sense of what Jesus is saying, sort of, and he says he's willing to lay down his life for him. I think that one of the glories of Christianity is that it shows the great weakness and failure of its leaders. It doesn't gloss over or try to candy coat the fact that its leaders are failures. And here, the Gospels, and if you remember, the original context of this Gospel would have been maybe about 20 years after the death of Peter. It doesn't foreground Peter's heroic Christian virtues. It foregrounds his failure, all right? And I think Peter's temptation, you see when Jesus is washing his feet, and you see it again here, Peter's temptation is to think that what we do for God, what we do for Jesus, is the important thing. But Jesus wants to make it clear, Peter, you are not the hero of this story. You are never the hero of this story. I am the hero of this story. And it underscores a very important factor in Christian life, that it is through a sober knowledge of ourselves, a knowledge of our weaknesses, of our failures, of what we're capable of, that leads to an accurate knowledge of God. See, Peter gets Jesus, sort of, but he doesn't fully get Jesus. He only really fully gets him when he sees what Jesus has done for him and what Jesus has endured from him. And it is then that Peter is able to then go indeed years later, lay down his life for Jesus. But even in that, the Gospel of John wants to emphasize that it is what he does for us, how he washes us, how he dies for us, that is the thing that we celebrate, and that is the glory of God. So may we come to have that sober knowledge of who we are, so that we see that there is great glory in the fact that God has loved us despite who we are. Amen.